This week, the Lord had been waking me up a little earlier than normal. And I don't know if you ever been that. You wake up and you think, shoot, I still got another hour and a half to sleep. You know, let me go try to go back to sleep. And then, you know, your mind gets going and all that kind of thing. And finally, I got stopped my mind long enough to hear that, come be with me. And so I got up and went out and sat by the pool and just had a good time with him this week. And there's times that you just need those special touches. And anyway, so one of the things that as I began to sit there, I began to think about God's love. And what it is to understand God's love. And so that kind of caused me to look at some things this week. I just saw something I missed here. I was going to say that I sat out in the peace and quiet out by the pool, but we got a mulberry tree at the end of our driveway, and it has a little old berries on it. It looks like a raspberry, and the squirrels were having a fun time eating those things. They must have been a dozen squirrels in it, and so it was mostly peace and quiet. But anyway, I did hear the Lord through the squirrels having their feast in the morning. But so as I was thinking about God's love, and when I think about God's love, I guess probably the first thing I do is think about, man, how could he love me? You know, how could he love me? Because I know me. And I know what I do and what I don't do. And that, you know, that question kind of hits me first of all when I think about it. And but anyway, but mostly, you know, my thing was thinking about how I don't really completely understand God's love. I don't believe. I know that he loves me. And I know that the Word talks about his love. In fact, I want to read several scriptures just about what the Bible says about his love, just to kind of get us thinking in that direction. The first one is John 3:1. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." He lavishes his love on us, so much so that we're his children. You know, we talk about the fact that he knew us in our mother's womb, and he knit us together and those kind of things, but it goes more than just him creating us and bringing us into this world. He brought us into this world to love us. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." That alone, to me, is just so powerful in the fact that when I was doing my thing out there, God still loved me enough and knew that I was going to do my thing, but still loved me enough to make provisions for me to come back into a relationship with him when he sent his son. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God's love for us is to have eternal life, to spend eternity with him. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Again, the fact that he sent his son for us. 1 John 4:7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." I'm going to talk about in just a minute the fact of how our misconception of what love is. Okay? But that scripture right there says that love comes from God. Just, I want you to hang on to that one. Jeremiah 33:3. Says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love." An everlasting love is one that doesn't end. An everlasting love is one that's steady and constant. It doesn't do this, okay? That's how he loved us, with an everlasting love. Psalms 36:5 says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens." That's a pretty big love, isn't it, when you think about that? And then in 36:7, it says, "How priceless is your unfailing love, O God." Psalms 136:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever." And then finally, Ephesians 3:17, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." Now, if I were to ask you this morning if God loved you, I think everybody would say yes. I think we've got to that place that we know that God loves us. We know that his word says that he loves us. We know that because of his love, he sent Jesus to die for the forgiveness of our sins. And we know those things. But sometimes we get in a place that things are happening that we don't necessarily sense that love. Or maybe we're not even sure that, oh, how could you even love me whenever I did that? How could that happen? Why is there still some times that we still question that love? And I felt like the Lord gave me this answer. He said, the reason is because of what we have thought was loved or perceived love to be has distorted our view of what love is. See, the distortion that we, well, let me say it this way. The love that we know mostly on earth, boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe husband, wife, maybe sons, daughters, whatever, has so many parameters in it and is dependent on so many things to happen or action in most cases. Huh? Conditional. Yeah, that's good. But God's love is not. And so because of things that we go through as we grow up, we all of a sudden have a filter in which we filter love through. Listen, around our house, we watch a lot of Hallmark movies. But there's stories and there's books and there's so many things out there that about people who have had major disappointments in their love life. And it causes them to react and do strange, crazy things, you know, and all that. And while that's somewhat of a twisted view, I understand that, but yet there's sometimes it's exaggerated, but there are cases like that that really happen in life. And it's because of what people have gone through in their upbringing, in their growing up. And the experiences that we've had in our love life, I guess if you will, has a tendency to cause us to filter everything through that. And it keeps us from really understanding God's love. Let me take you back a few years. You remember your first love? Maybe you were 10, 12, 15, maybe 20 years old when it came along. But you remember that thought, man, what is this? Why am I feeling this way? Why is all of a sudden nothing else in the world matters but that I'm around her? So many things happen. And then all of a sudden it kind of usually turns into, from a guy's standpoint, it's then, what can I do to make this better? So we work at it. We work at it. And then all of a sudden, she decides she just wants to be friends. And your parents or your friends or whatever says, oh, that'll go away. That'll go away. There's more than one fish in the sea. You've heard that one? Okay. But still, it hurt. It hurt. And even though at that point, you know, people call it puppy love and all that kind of thing when it's so young and that kind of thing, there's still an aspect of loving somebody that took place within you that you gave yourself into, and now all of a sudden is taken away from you. And it causes a hurt. It causes a scar. It causes pain. And that scar, that pain or whatever, becomes a filter then for love. Then we become cautious about next time. Well, I better get to know her a little better. Or whatever might be. If you've seen the movie Hitch, it's based on that premises. That he got hurt, and now all of a sudden he's working behind the scenes as the love doctor. Okay. Anyway, it's a cute movie. But the problem is that we become guarded then in receiving love and giving love. And we do need a love doctor, but it ain't Hitch. Okay? It ain't Hitch. It's God. His love is pure. His love is unconditional. His love doesn't pay attention to you today and maybe ignore you tomorrow. Okay? His love is constant. John, 1 John 4:7 says, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour on you to one another, because God is love. And I question whether or not our definition of love is really what God's definition of love is. Okay? Because our definition of love most of the time is, you know, wow, this good feeling, everything's going great, you know, hey, wow, she makes me feel on top of the world, and those kind of things. Now, God's love will do the same thing, but that love, that first love, is conditional. It's conditional of if you do the right things, if you act the right way, if you open the door for her, whatever, anyway. But I believe that what God was trying to help me understand in this is the fact that what we have gone through in life, with our experiences in love, has become that filter in which we try to figure out God's love for us. And you can't do that. Because God is the very definition of love. And I think our definition of love may not necessarily line up with his. See, if we have those scars, or if we've got those disappointments or whatever, and maybe you don't even know if you got them or not, but I felt like this is kind of what the Lord was showing me, is that in order for us to really receive his love and walk in his love, we've got to get rid of any of those to be able to completely walk in everything that he has for us as far as his love goes. I mean, you can walk around saying, God loves me, God loves me. And then when something happens, that don't come through. All of a sudden, you feel unworthy to be loved. Well, even whether you feel worthy or unworthy to love, he still loves you. He still loves you. And see, we can't, what we've experienced through life of what love is, don't fit that definition. And we look at it that way, and all of a sudden, you know, we take our definition of love and try to put it on love himself. Because he is love, and he is the one. Listen, there are so many stinking counselors. Sorry. There's so many counselors out there that will, you know, that try to help you through bad relationships and those kind of things, you know. And they mean well. They mean well. But the only one that can fix that is the one who is the definition of love, the one who is love, and that's God. They can help walk you through some things and help you adjust some things and help you cope with some things. But see, God don't want to help you cope with it. God wants to heal you of it. Because coping just means you've learned to live with it. Okay? And God don't want you to live with it. God wants you to live with his love. God wants you to live with his definition of love, who he is. And what's going on? In 1 John it says, there is not fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever had a love relationship that there wasn't some element of fear in it? I mean, think about it for a minute, all right? Most cases, there are, because it's like you're doing the right thing or you're doing the wrong thing or whatever. But see, because God is love, that love is perfect, and there should be no fear in that love. And that's where he wants us to be. Listen, I know that we live in a world where kids don't feel loved, where husbands and wives fall out of love with each other, you know, and divorces occur, and maybe even friendships. We talked about restoration and stuff. There's something happened along the line that all of a sudden, you know, love was not a part of that. Because some expectation wasn't met. That's in this world, but God's desire is to heal those things. He wants to get us to the place where we understand and know what real love is. He wants to do a filter change, okay? It's time, all right? To get those things, what we think love is and how we think love ought to act and how we think love ought to respond out of us. And so that we can get to a place that we can receive his love and know who he is and know what he has for us. I titled this message, Understanding God's Love. I don't know if we really can completely understand his love. It's so far beyond anything that we know as love is. But what we have to do is accept it. You got to accept it. But he does want to change maybe what your perception of love is. Sometimes the craziest things go through my mind, but I was just thinking the song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places, just went through my mind up there. And I think that's a lot of what's happening. We were having a little conversation in the prayer room this morning with Sally. People look for something that man can't provide. Cannot be provided. But yet we do our best to try to let that happen. When God just wants you to open up and let Him love you. And let Him show you what true love really is. When we accept His perfect love, maybe we'll learn how to love each other a little better. Because His love is perfect. Let me finish up by reading 1 Corinthians 13:8. This is in the Passion Translation. It says, love never stops loving. Because who is love? God is love. So love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. I love prophecy. Now, some of you got prophesied over last week. And some good stuff. It is more enduring than tongues, which will only one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. In verse 12, it says, my understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. And I'm not talking about man's love. I'm talking about God's love. Accepting the fact that God loves us, even when we can't love ourselves. I mean, that's sometimes a hard pill to swallow, but that is the fact that He loves us, and His love never fails. It never fades. It is there. That's the definition of love. So I just want to encourage you to take some time and just meditate on God's love. Just meditate on it. Find a scripture about how He loves you and just meditate on it. Think of it. And it'll wash away some of the imperfections of what you think love is. He'll take and clear the filter from you. Yeah, come.
Thursday, I'm at the bowling alley. They have a special needs bowlers there. Most people shun these people. They criticize them. They make fun of them and everything. And one thing you can learn, I have learned that you can learn so much from these people. And one most important thing is unconditional love. They accept people for how they are, and most of them have a strong love of God, have a very strong faith, but they're also the most accepting people. Even though they live their life with criticism and being made fun of all their life, they accept no matter what handicap another person has, what disformity or whatever, they love them. They take them in, and they have taught me so much in what I've learned from them. If you ever want to learn really what unconditional love is, work with the special needs adults because they can teach you so much. Put aside your prejudice. Put aside everything. Put your love of God in your heart and work with them, and they will teach you. They are such amazing adults.
Again, that's a perfect example of the fact that how we see love is through filters, what we've come through. And God doesn't have filters. And He wants us to get rid of those filters. So I want to pray over you this morning and dismiss you. And just pray that God will reveal that love to you. Not just, I guess, and I don't even know that I convey what I felt like he just showed me through all this. It's that not so much of me saying, yeah, God loves me. God loves me. It's just not words. It's so much more than words. And I think sometimes that we just get hung up on that. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that you would just continue to reveal your love to us. Lord, that unconditional love. That love that caused you to give your son. Caused you to let your son be tortured and hung on a cross because of the way that you love me. Lord, you tell us the greatest commandment is to love you, and the second one is to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, help us to love with the love that you love us. Because many times our love is conditional. And Lord, I just ask that you'd help us move that conditional love out and allow your love to flood in. So Lord, we say we love you this morning, and we thank you for loving us, and help us to walk in that love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. I love you.